Today, as Father said, we celebrate Gaudete Sunday, which is the third Sunday of Advent already. It's gone pretty fast, hasn't it? And as Father also mentioned, we don't wear pink, we wear rose. I like to, some people come up to me and say, oh, you look so great in that pink outfit there you got on. I said, no, it's not, it's rose. You got to educate people. It's rose. I say, do I look like the Pink Panther? I say, no. Okay, then it's not pink. But we're okay with that. You can say pink. Well, the word gaudete is Latin for rejoice. And to illustrate this, there was a preacher who was trying to teach some students of his to make their facial expressions harmonize with what they were speaking about. So he said to them, when you speak of things like heaven, let your face light up, let it be radiant with a heavenly glow, and let your eyes shine with reflected glory. And when you speak of the things of this earth, the things of this life, they're temporary, you can just put on your ordinary face. Well, we might smile at that story, because we all know it is how easy it is to put on a long face, a dull face, a just kind of, you know, expressionless look. We have no trouble seeing the negative things in our life. There was a priest that I heard about who visited a wealthy member of his parish. The man had a lovely home with a great landscape yard, and the priest commented on this and how beautiful it all was. And how happy this man must be with that. Yes, the man said, but with a very disappointed look on his face, he added, look at these shrubs. I pay good money to have them cared for, and this is what I get. Cynicism. It can often be our default position. And sometimes we even feel good about it being our default position. But joy, on the other hand, has a way of surprising us. This same priest who visited that wealthy parishioner later served in a Latin American country. And while visiting a rural community there, a man asked him to come to his home. Now, his home was this adobe hut. But with his broad smile on his face, the man said, Father, we have saved for a year to get this tin roof that we have. Will you please bless it for us? So he's pretty happy with that. Joy again surprises us. It shows up in unexpected places. And as we know, especially in today, it goes against the tide. Joy involves our whole being, which includes our ability to choose. In our second reading today, St. Paul says, rejoice always. And he doesn't say this as a suggestion. He's not saying, you know, like cheer up or look on the sunny side. He's rather telling us that we must rejoice. He's not suggesting it. He's saying we must rejoice. Not only when things are going well and maybe, you know, we're kind of getting our way, but always. Rejoice always. And that's difficult, I know. There are situations in our lives where joy and rejoicing or even being happy or putting a smile on our face is a difficult thing to do. But St. Paul can tell us to be joyful because joy really requires a conscious choice, a conscious decision. It's not like we feel like being joyful, although sometimes we do. But for the most part, it involves a conscious decision on our part. And sometimes when I read scripture like the one we just heard from Isaiah, when he says, I rejoice heartily in the Lord, in my God is the joy of my soul, for he has clothed me with a robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice. Beautiful words. And I think about it when I read this, I think how different it was back then. How very, very different it was back then. They had no washing machines. They had no microwaves. They didn't have cars or iPhones or any of the other ease of living things that are so much a part of our daily lives today. Life was definitely much more difficult than ours is today. Yet the depth and the quality and the sincerity of praise and rejoicing that we hear from Isaiah and King David and all of the prophets, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing, and also very convicting for us. Like a lot of people today, in spite of all the things that I have that make my life easier, I can still get into that rut of pessimism and grumbling. I had to apologize to Mary the other day because for the past few days I was a little grumpy. Got plenty of stuff going on. I don't mean bad stuff, good stuff. I got a great house, got a wonderful wife, we got some money in the bank, I got a job. You know, I had all this stuff that's good, yet I was grumbling about some other thing. There might be 99 things going on well in my life, but darn if I don't focus on that one thing that's going bad, you know? St. Paul, in a certain way, Isaiah also, does not tell us to wait until we have all of our ducks in a row, everything's looking, you know, ducky. He says, rejoice always. And then, fortunately, he goes on to explain to us how we can do that. The first thing he says is to pray. We have to keep the lines of communication open with our God regardless, even if that praying is lamenting. Keep the lines open. When things go wrong, praising him in prayer is not always the first thing that comes to my mind. It's usually the second thing after I complain a little bit. Yet Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. Don't stop. Even when things fall apart, and especially when they fall apart. It's easy to praise the Lord when things are going great, you know, but a little more difficult when things are not going so well. The second step to joy is gratitude. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, did St. Paul give thanks when his own people insulted him and physically attacked him, which is what they did? Did he give thanks when his boat capsized and he found himself drifting on a cold sea? Did he give thanks when he was stoned and beaten with rods and bitten by snakes? He probably didn't immediately, because he is a human being too. But by prayer, I assume that he eventually saw God's hand at work and then gave him thanks. May have been begrudgingly, but you got to start somewhere. In our responsorial psalm today, we pray with Mary her Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. More beautiful words. This was her prayer of gratitude to God and for what he was doing in her life. And like St. Paul's life, there were some risky things going on there. She was at risk in her life. But because she was a woman of prayer and of deep faith, she was able to trust in God and in his will for her, believing that he would be with her through it all. The presence of God through it all is key. No matter what's going on, we have to believe that God is there with us. And Paul adds something else that seems obvious. He says, refrain from every kind of evil. If there is any sinful behavior in our lives, we will not be happy, let alone joyful, and we'll certainly not be able to rejoice. You cannot rejoice doing evil at the same time. You can try to. It's not a suggestion. So it's for that reason that we really need to hear John the Baptist today when he says, make straight the way of the Lord. Advent is not only a time of the joyful expectation for the coming of the Messiah, it's also a time of reconciliation, of being reconciled with God, of examining our consciences conscience to see where we need to repent and seek forgiveness. It's a key component in Advent as well as in Lent. Now, to help us do that, this Monday night we have our parish's penance service. And I don't know what the line looked like yesterday morning, but when I was here before the vigil mass last night, there were people from confessional to the wall over there up until about 10 minutes till. So if you were one of them, you can come tomorrow night to our penance service. And I encourage anyone who needs to make straight the way of the Lord in their hearts to come tomorrow night. There will be plenty of priests here to hear your confession who probably, you know, don't know you, so you're good in that, and most likely won't see you again until next year. Right? That's a good thing. Confession always lightens our conscience and clears the way for joy to happen. Even if things aren't going well in our lives that we have no control over, what we do have control over is what goes on inside of us. And if what goes on inside of us is blocking the flow of God's grace, it's also blocking the flow of joy. So, come on out tomorrow night and experience what this season and really what all of our lives are about, and that is learning to rejoice in the Lord always and letting that joy from within us go out into the world and to the people around us.